Welcome to the Bible Answer Man broadcast with your host, Hank Hanegraaff. The Bible Answer Man is an outreach of the Christian Research Institute designed to equip believers to defend their faith and live their lives as true disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ because life and truth matter. Our phone number is 888-7000-CRI. You can find us online at equip.org. If you'd like to ask Hank a question, then call in now. Just dial 888-ASK-HANK. That's 888-275-4265. And now, to begin today's broadcast, here's Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. Do you remember our mailing address? It's Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. Well, I'm not going to go to questions immediately because I got a question yesterday on the Bible Answer Man broadcast about my health, and I indicated that I would have some news as of Thursday, and I'd mention on Thursday's show how I was doing physically, what the prognostication is in terms of my cancer. Well, I just got a call from my doctor, my oncologist, at 5 o'clock. And he said, Hank, I wanted you to know before you come in tomorrow to go over all the reports, the CT scan, the blood tests, that you are cancer-free. And I will tell you, that was, I still don't know how to react to that because as many of you know, I was doing fine last December, and then in January I was shaving, and all of a sudden I felt this little bump under my jaw. And I thought, what is that? And that bump began to grow, and pretty soon a tumor appeared on my neck, and then two large ones in my groin area. I called them my hamsters. They were so big. And the tumors came back with a vengeance. And so, as you know, those who have followed my odyssey with cancer, I went through a transplant this year, and hard to imagine that I could hear the words from my doctor, you're cancer-free. Again, he'll go over all the details with me tomorrow, so I'll have more information then, but he wanted to give me the preliminary news, and I wanted to tell you, those listening in and those praying for me, because I am so grateful for the prayers of God's people. Over the last year, so many people have told me that they pray for me fervently and continually. And so when I got the news, the very first thing I did, I shared the news with some of our staff members, and then I went into my office and I shut the door and I turned off the light. I got down on my face before the Lord and I just thanked him. I think one of the things that is so easy, even when you get news like this, is to thank everybody else and forget to thank the Lord himself. The Lord works through doctors. There are tools in his hand. But I'm grateful that I am at this point cancer-free and grateful for the prayers of God's people. We're all terminal, but God has given me new life and renewed purpose and vigor and vitality. And again, I'm grateful for the prayers of God's people. I was also thinking about day 11 in my book, The Heart of Christmas, a devotional for the season. If you don't have it, it's available for those who support the ministry. You can check it out on the web at equip.org. I was thinking about Jesus coming to Caesarea Philippi. And he asked his disciples the mother of all questions there, who do you say that I am? Well, there are a lot of answers to that question. So a Mormon will answer that question by saying that Jesus is the spirit brother of Lucifer. A Jehovah's Witness that Jesus was the archangel Michael who appeared in the incarnation as merely human. A New Ager will often say that Jesus is just an avatar, a messenger. But Jesus gave a completely different answer. And it wasn't just a verbal answer. It was a demonstration in the incarnation, in Christ coming in flesh, that he was undiminished deity. Jesus claimed that he was the unique Son of God. And as a result of that, of course, the leaders of the Jewish nation tried to kill him because in calling God his own Father, Jesus was making himself equal with God. In John chapter 8, Jesus went as far as to use the very words by which God had revealed himself to Moses from the burning bush. Now, to the Jews, this was the epitome of blasphemy, for they knew that in doing what Jesus did, particularly referring to what he referred to in John chapter 8, Jesus was clearly claiming that he was God. There was another occasion in which Jesus explicitly told the Jews, "I and the Father are one." And again, the Jews picked up stones to stone him. But Jesus said to them, "I've shown you so many great miracles from the Father. For which of these do you want to stone me?" And you remember their response. They said, "We're not stoning you for any of these, but for blasphemy, because you, a mere man, are claiming to be God." And you recall that Jesus made an unmistakable claim to deity before the chief priests and the whole Sanhedrin. Caiaphas, the high priest, had asked him, "Are you the Christ, the Son of the Blessed One?" And Jesus answered with those immortal words, "I am." And then he went on to say, "You will see the Son of Man sitting at the right hand of the Mighty One and coming on the clouds of heaven." Now, a biblically illiterate person might well have missed what Jesus was driving at, but Caiaphas and the council did not. They knew beyond the peradventure of a doubt that in saying he was the Son of Man who would come on the clouds of heaven, he was making an overt reference to the Son of Man in the biblical prophecy of Daniel. And in doing that, he was not only claiming to be the pre-existent sovereign of the universe, but he was prophesying. He's making a declaration, a prophetic declaration, that he would vindicate his claim by judging the very court that was now condemning him to death. And, I should add, by combining the prophecy of Daniel with the proclamation that David made in Psalm 110, Jesus was claiming that he would sit on the very throne of Israel's God and share God's very glory. To those who knew the Old Testament well, this was blasphemy. And so what do? They condemned him as worthy of death. Well, during the incarnation, we have Jesus claiming to possess the very attributes of God. Remember, he said, "I'm omniscient." And he told Peter, "This very night, before the rooster crows, you will disown me three times." That is an attribute of God. He knew what would happen even in the future. Of course, he also declared omnipotence by not only resurrecting Lazarus, but by raising himself from the dead. And then Jesus professed omnipresence by promising that he would be with his disciples to the very end of the age. And not only that, but Jesus said to the paralytic, "Your sins are forgiven." And by doing that, claimed a prerogative reserved for God alone. And so today, on the 11th of December, as we contemplate the mother of all questions, I hope that we are ever more mindful that the Christ born in a manger is the very one who spoke and caused the limitless galaxies to leap into existence. And he is, of course, the very one that has the power to heal. And so when people pray to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, to the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, when they pray for miracles, miracles of healing, they're not talking to a mere man. They're talking to God, God who came in flesh, who bore our iniquities, so that we might have an eternity with him, that we might be not only saved, but deified. I write about that in my book, Truth Matters, Life Matters More, The Unexpected Beauty of an Authentic Christian Life, available as well for those who support the ministry. Check it out on the web at equip.org. We'll be back in just a few moments with more of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. The number to dial to get your questions answered on the broadcast live today, 888-ASK-HANK, numerically 888-275-4265. Thanks for your prayers, for your support. You're making a difference worldwide. We'll be right back.
Today's generation wants to make the world a better place. So award-winning journalist John S. Dickerson sought to discover what humanity's greatest champions had in common. Dickerson compiles his conclusions in his new book, Jesus Skeptic, offering answers found in historical facts rather than opinions, ultimately leading to an unexpected conclusion. What exactly do humanity's greatest heroes have in common? A Christian faith. To receive a copy of Jesus Skeptic for yourself or as a terrific gift for a friend or loved one, simply call 888-7000-CRI. That's 888-7000-CRI. Or visit equip.org. Hank Hanegraaff will be back after the break. Has God spoken? Are the words of Scripture merely human in origin, or are they in fact the very words of God Himself? 3 years in the making and based on two decades of research and reflection, Hank Hanegraaff's monumental book, Has God Spoken?, answers what is surely the most important question facing our world. In Has God Spoken? Memorable Proofs of the Bible's Divine Inspiration, Hank counters the contentions of the Bible attackers and clearly shows that belief in the Holy Scriptures is not a guess or wishful thinking. It is the only logical conclusion after an honest examination of overwhelming evidence. Order Has God Spoken? From the Christian Research Institute by calling 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. Equip.org. The Christian Research Journal is CRI's award-winning magazine, combining eye-catching design with well-researched articles to equip believers in doctrine, defense, and discernment. The Christian Research Journal's primary commitment is to contend earnestly for the faith that was once for all delivered to the saints. In keeping with this commitment, the journal's mission is both evangelistic and pastoral, furthering the proclamation and defense of the historic gospel of Jesus Christ and helping his followers distinguish between essential Christian doctrine and doctrine that is peripheral, aberrant, or heretical. In an age of subjectivism and moral relativism, may Christians ground their faith and values in the objective, reliable testimony of Holy Scripture. Start your subscription to the Christian Research Journal today. Call 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. That's equip.org.
Is Christianity good for the world? Do followers of Jesus Christ promote human rights, alleviate suffering, and enable humanity to flourish? In his book, Jesus Skeptic, award-winning journalist John S. Dickerson offers compelling primary evidence for the credibility of the Christian faith and shows that Jesus and his followers have indeed changed the world for good in remarkable ways. Dickerson writes, "Whether I like Jesus' followers or not, Jesus bears studying, for his movement has been, by multiple measures, among the most powerful movements for social good in all of human history." Be sure to read Jesus Skeptic, a journalist explores the credibility and impact of Christianity. To receive your copy as our thanks for your gift, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a strategic gift to support the Christian Research Institute's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org. That's equip.org.
And now, here's Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy, and let's go right to your phone calls. The number to dial, 888-ASK-HANK, numerically 888-275-4265. Reginald in Bedford Heights, Ohio, listening on Sirius XM 131. Hi, Reginald.
Yes, hi, Brother Hank, and thank you for taking my call, and I rejoice with you today in your good report.
Thank you.
For whose report will we believe?
Thank you.
Yes, I pray for you, Hank.
Oh, and bless you.
I hope to meet you. I hope to meet you one day soon.
Oh,
I really do.
That would be great.
Yes. My brother Hank, it's a question. It's really minute, but I just have a question as far as a child taking communion in the church. I mean, should the parents refrain the child from coming forth to take the communion? And should the warning of taking communion and not being worthy, should that go out beforehand?
Well, I think yes. I think that warning is a warning that is very serious, and we should, before we take the Eucharist or communion or the Lord's table, it's communicated in various ways, but when you partake of the Thanksgiving meal or you partake of the Lord's table, you must definitely examine yourself and not take the Lord's table in an unworthy manner, because Paul warns us in 1 Corinthians chapter 11 that because people have taken communion in an unworthy manner, some are sick and some have died. When you think about the medicine of immortality, if you take that medicine improperly, that medicine can be very, very harmful. It's not just biological energy that's being absorbed, but it's zoetic. This is spiritual energy that is coming into the person, and so we dare not take it in an unworthy manner. So parents who have their children baptized, and I certainly believe in infant baptism, they stand in for their children, and just as a parent takes care of a child, doesn't ask the child, do you want me to change your diaper? Do you want me to feed you? Do you want me to clothe you? Do you want me to care for you? Do you want me to nurture you? No, this is something that is done as the parents stand in for the child before the child has the ability to say, yes, I want my mother's milk, or yes, I want food. I think the same thing is true on a spiritual level. The parent stands in for the child, and the child is baptized, and in being baptized, they're doing what is in concert with the New Testament prerogative, in which you read in passages like 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and Acts chapter 16 and Acts, many different passages, Acts chapter 2, you read about the whole household being baptized. And I think that if you look at this in the context, and I've taken some time to do that, you find that this means everyone under the roof. So I think this would naturally be assumed to include infants. And looking at the Old Testament, you have infants 8 days or older being circumcised. And so too, infants should receive baptism, which is the circumcision of Christ, as the Apostle Paul puts it, I think, in Colossians chapter 2. So, yeah, I'm very, very supportive of infant baptism. And, as my kids are having kids, to see those kids being baptized, not just dedicated, is fantastic, and then to see them receive the Eucharist as baptized, chrismated infants is fantastic. And our lives are continuums. Our lives continue on. Even after we die, our lives continue on, because in the true biblical sense, in the true sense of anthropology, We're not just talking about the fall to redemption, but we're talking from creation all the way to deification, which is an ongoing process because we can never fully encompass the ineffable God.
Okay. So would that still fall on the pastor to bring forth that warning before the taking of the supper?
I think so, absolutely. I think that this is a very important thing that is part and parcel of partaking of the Eucharist. You want to make certain that when you do, that you're partaking in a worthy manner. And again, Paul lays that out very, very seriously. So, you know, for people that think that the Eucharist is just a remembrance or a memorial, well, perhaps it's not as big a deal. But if you realize that this is much more than that, this is actually the real presence of Christ, which is my opinion, not based on, well, I decided in the 21st century that this is the real presence of Christ, but this has been the unanimous belief of the church right through the time of Martin Luther. Martin Luther believed in the real presence of Christ, and he argued vociferously for the real presence of Christ, and I think we should as well. Got it?
Yes. Thank you for taking my call, Hank.
You are so welcome, Reginald. And again, I am compelled to speak the truth, the truth as I have prayerfully considered truth. I don't take my work at the Christian Research Institute lightly. There are some things that I have taught in error. And whenever I know about an error in my teaching, I want to confess that publicly, as I have done in my book, Truth Matters, Life Matters More. I've confessed error in my teaching and in various ways. And so I make that confession publicly, and I take very seriously the statement by James, let not many of you be teachers, because in teaching there's a stricter judgment. So when I talk about the real presence of Christ in the Eucharist, I'm not talking about something that is insignificant. I'm talking about something that is at the heart of the Christian faith. In fact, I go so far in my book as to call the church a Eucharistic assembly, because this has to do with a life, a sphere wherein which the union of human persons with God is accomplished. So this is a sacred space, this unity of God and humanity. It's inextricably woven together into the fabric of one cloth. And that's why I say so often, quoting St. Cyprian, that no one can have God for his father who does not have the church for his mother. And this is a self-evident truth, because it is through the church that God's saving power is mediated to the whole of humanity. Outside the church, there is no salvation, because salvation is the church. And thus I say Christianity knows nothing of Lone Ranger Christians. To be baptized is to be born anew into a body of which Christ is the head. And thus the church is the center of the universe. It is the place where union with God takes place in the present life, a union that will be consummated in the age to come. It is the reincarnation of Eden, if you will. And I hope you get this in your memory trace, and I hope I can say it many, many times so that you do, because it's the place where you and I may access the tree of life replete with the real presence of God, the real presence of Christ, the Eucharistic bounty available to us, which was not available to Adam when Adam and Eve left the Garden of Eden, and not because they wanted to. They were cast out. So the Eucharist is a bounty by which our nature is unified with Christ, unified with other Christians, This is a solemn, solemn undertaking. And as Reginald correctly said and alluded to, we should warn those to never partake of the Eucharist or communion or the Lord's table in an unworthy manner. We're out of time for this edition of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. As we close the broadcast, my thanks once again for those who have prayed for my healing, for my health, for my strength. I'm deeply grateful that the Lord has given me more time to proclaim His gospel message. I'm also very grateful for those who stand prayerfully and financially with the ministry of the Christian Research Institute. Without you, we couldn't do what we do. When you can give in a safe, secure fashion on the web at equip.org. And believe me, we are behind this year, I think partially because I was out for a long time this year. So if we can catch up in the month of December, it'd be absolutely wonderful. You can also give via the mail at Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. God bless you. Thanks for tuning in. Look forward to being back here with more news tomorrow.
You've been listening to the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Hank Hanegraaff. We pray that today's program has deepened your understanding of Scripture and helped you grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. If you'd like to contact CRI and order resources or partner with us financially, just go to equip.org. That's equip.org. Or call a resource consultant at 888-7000-274. You can also write to us at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. The Bible Answer Man broadcast is supported solely by listeners like you. We're on the air because life and truth matter. The Christian Research Journal is CRI's award-winning magazine, combining eye-catching design with well-researched articles to equip believers in doctrine, defense, and discernment. The Christian Research Journal's primary commitment is to contend earnestly for the faith that was once for all delivered to the saints. In keeping with this commitment, the journal's mission is both evangelistic and pastoral, furthering the proclamation and defense of the historic gospel of Jesus Christ, and helping his followers distinguish between essential Christian doctrine and doctrine that is peripheral, aberrant, or heretical. In an age of subjectivism and moral relativism, may Christians ground their faith and values in the objective, reliable testimony of Holy Scripture. Start your subscription to the Christian Research Journal today. Call 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. That's equip.org.